just imagine that you wrote your problems on that piece of paper, and then you just hold your hand out and you let God's wind, his holy fire, come and take it from you. He doesn't say you have to do anything. He just says, let me have it. And he comes like a rushing wind. Amen. It's not a little breeze. He can blow anything away that he wants to. So whatever problems you have, what if we just gave it to Jesus? What if we didn't hold on to it anymore? And what if we trusted that he would do what he says he would do? And he would come and make all things new? The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I don't think that freedom comes in the end. I think we can live a life free of addiction now. We can live a life free of depression and anxiety now. So Lord, we say, take it this morning. Whatever we've been holding on to, God, I pray that you would come and you would take it. That we would give it to you and not pick it back up again. Just come like a flood, Lord. Let our hearts be ready for how you want to move, Father. There's no one that I can trust my life with more than Jesus. There's no one else who knew the end from the beginning. There's no one else who knew what my struggles would be. And that's who we get to partner with, amen. So let's sing that again and just let him take whatever you've been holding on to, any unforgiveness, any problems you've been struggling with. He is the answer, amen. He's always the answer. Oh, you. So come like a flood inside. We're so glad to have you here with us.
Man, my goodness. Good to have you with us today. All right. So you can prepare your tithe and offering. Al, if you can bring me one of those yellow envelopes, please, real quick. Today, along with our normal tithe and offering, is the Sunday that we receive our yearly Thanksgiving offering. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. If you are participating in that and you don't have a yellow envelope, raise your hand and ask for one, okay? And every year, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we take an additional, we call it Thanksgiving offering, for a project that needs done in the church. This year, the designation for this offering is to upgrade our live stream equipment. It needs upgraded. We've been spending the year, new sound system, new computer for the screen and all that kind of stuff, and now it's time for the live stream update. And the only reason we're doing it, to be real honest with you, is there are some shut-ins that don't get to church. They can't get out too much, so they do watch live stream. We want it to be good for them. But also, just be honest with you, in today's society, people usually watch live stream of a church before they'll attend the church. It's just a nice way to check the church out before you go there. And we just want it to be decent, all right? So our camera is very old. It just needs upgraded and just to make some things better. So that's the designation for this offering this year. So if you need one of these envelopes, again, wave your hand around. And when we do our normal offering in just a second, just go ahead and put it in there. And the reason the yellow envelopes obviously is the designation of that offering. So having said that, we appreciate your giving and your faithfulness, and all the things that happen here in the church are because of your faithfulness. Amen. So you may still be prepping that. So real quick announcement before I forget. I'll have more announcements after offering, but one before I forget, because if I don't, Patsy, you know Patsy? Patsy knows karate. So if I don't make her announcement afterwards, she's just like, I'm kidding. Today, Joy Fellowship's happening. It's a small group of the older folks in our church. And that's at 5 o'clock today. They meet here at the church. And actually, somebody's buying pizza for everybody. So come on out for that. And then you want to bring a side dish to that, you may do so. And yes, Patsy, you're waving at me. You have something you need to add to that? Yes. Yes. You say 30? All right. Awesome. So if you don't know what she's talking about, the Christmas shoeboxes through Operation Christmas Child that went out to different places around the globe, you guys brought in 30 shoeboxes full of toys and things to send out. And so that went with the gospel. So give yourself a hand clap for that. That's very awesome. I appreciate that. So Joy Fellowship today. So let me pray over your offering. And if you have something, you can bring it down this morning. Lord, we continue in our worship today and our giving. We're so thankful that you are always our provider, always out in front of us with provision. And Lord, as we give today, it's an honoring of you. It's an honoring that you are who you are in your faithfulness. And we give our tithe of the increase. We give our offering of the things you put on our heart. For those that are giving the Thanksgiving offering, that what you have placed in our heart to give. And we believe, Lord, that you use these finances beyond even our wisdom and our stewardship to do things for the kingdom. It's not just giving, but it's building the kingdom. And we thank you to be able to participate in that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So if you have something, you can bring it down. So I do have a handful of announcements, if you'll roll with me for a minute. But Justice, if you'll put up the visitor slide for me, please, real quick. If you're new with us today or you've been with us, you've never filled out a connection to us, this slide right up here, if you want to, go ahead and get your phone out and put it in picture mode, put it up on that QR code, then click, it'll take you to a place you can fill out a little information for us. Also in there is just information about the church if you want to know a little bit more about us. So if you take a moment and do that, we'd appreciate it. And that gets sent to me and I'll reply to you. But if you don't want to do it that way, in the chair in front of you, there is a connect card you can fill out and get that to me. And the same process happens with that. So we're glad you're with us today. And by the way, it's Thanksgiving week. Y'all ready? Getting all the extra exercise in before, right? Then you can eat up, then do the extra exercise afterwards, right? Or don't exercise at all and just eat, right? Okay, whatever your plan is. But Thanksgiving week, I'm looking forward to it. Here are some announcements, though. Don't forget, because it is Thanksgiving week, our Wednesday service is not Wednesday. Our Wednesday service is Tuesday. We call it Turkey Tuesday. So Tuesday at 7 o'clock is our midweek service, and we will not be here Wednesday night. So, again, that's just for people traveling or family coming in town for Thanksgiving. So midweek service is Tuesday night. Don't forget that. Also, let's see. I have a sign-up sheet that needs to be passed around. And I'm passing around just so we can get an initial a sign-up for this. There's a pin on here. If your child is going to be here, this is for kids. If your child is going to be here for our Christmas Eve service, there's a sign-up to put them on here, because for our Christmas Eve service, the children do something to participate in the service. So we just want to know who's here. Next Sunday, and Sundays up until Christmas, the end of Kids Church, they will be practicing for their participation in the Christmas Eve service. So that's what this is for. You don't have to list out all of your kids. Like, if you're like Drew and they have 60 kids, okay, you don't have to list them all. You can say the Brown family. We'll just know there's 60 there, okay? So you can send that around. And also, the youth, 5th through 12th grade, also have a part in our Christmas Eve service. And Samara will be contacting parents of our young people to see if they will be here, and she's putting that together. So our kids and our youth all have a part in our Christmas Eve service this year. So, and of course, that's a wonderful time. So just make sure you let us know who's going to be there so we can get them involved in the practices and all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Also, according to Christmas and Thanksgiving this week, I can't believe next Sunday is already December the 1st, I think. So every year we put out a Christmas devotion. It's something I wrote several years ago, and we just print this every year. And it's a devotion for each day in the month of December leading up to Christmas Day. And it's just a devotion for each day, like December 1st and all the way through December 25th. And it's just a reading each day that takes you into the scriptures and something about it, and it heads towards the birth of our Savior, which we are celebrating in December. So if you want one of these, go ahead right now and raise your hand up, and the ushers are going to give these out. And I think we should have enough. And by the way, there's two different covers on it. It's been printed a couple different times, so they may look a little different, but they're the same thing. So you can grab one of those this morning. That starts on next Sunday. And let's see, what else do we got to announce this morning? Let me look. Okay, a couple things, and I have to introduce somebody to you today. So right away in December, not next weekend, but the weekend after, there is on Saturday, December the 7th at 2 p.m., a women's cookie exchange. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back for that. So if you want more information about that, you can see Margo. And by the way, this Saturday, I know I'm piling on announcements if you keep straight what I'm saying here. This Saturday at 9 a.m. is a women's coffee hangout, fellowship time. So this Saturday at 9 a.m., women's coffee, and they're going to be staying after the coffee to decorate the church for Christmas. So that's happening on Saturday. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can be here and do that. Then the next day, 2 weeks from today, is our yearly church Christmas party. So, it's the first time I'm telling you about this, because we were looking for a place to have it. All the places we're looking didn't work out, so we're going to just have it here. So December the 8th, right after church, we're going to clear this room out, put up tables. We'll provide all of the fried chicken. You guys bring in side dishes and desserts to share. Okay, there'll be some activities for the kids, for the youth and the adults. We're going to do a white elephant gift exchange. Okay, so if you want to participate in that, you can. For the youth, it's a $5 limit, and for the adults, it's a $10 limit. Or you can find something you want to get rid of out of your house and wrap that up and bring that too. Whatever you'd like to do. Okay, it's up to you. You don't have to participate. So the 7th, women's cookie exchange. Sunday the 8th, it's a church Christmas party right after church here. All right, and of course, we have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service the day before Christmas. All right, so those are the announcements coming up for December. And last but not least, Mandy, come on down. This is Mandy, and she, I need to make a formal introduction. I just brought Mandy on as our Kids Church Director beginning in November. So she's been at her job for 3 weeks now. So having said that, anything to do with kids' church, quit asking me. I'm kidding. But you can go to Mandy now, and she's in job training right now. She's doing a great job, and her rotation is she's teaching twice a month on Sundays, twice a month on Wednesdays. Then, of course, we have our other team around her, but she's doing all things kids' church, and she's learning on the fly. She's doing a great job so far. So if you have questions about kids or anything, that's babies all the way through fifth grade. That's her her responsibility. So if you have things, you can see her. But parents, make sure you introduce yourself to her so she gets to know you, and she's learning your kids' names. It takes a while. I know for me, I have to hear your name like six times, and then maybe I get it, okay? Hopefully she's a little better at me in that. But get to know her, okay? And she's doing a great job. So thanks, Mandy. All right, finally, let's get our Bibles out. If you brought your Bible today, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is where we're going to head first. We're going to close out our series today on generosity. I've been enjoying talking about this. By the way, next Sunday, obviously, December 1st, we'll be starting our Christmas series. It's entitled The Name, and we've been working on that. But generosity. So this is our third week on generosity, and I wanted to close out with some encouragement to you today in generosity. But remember that the things we've been talking about over the last couple of Sundays, that we are to be like God is. I think we know that. And one thing I know about God is generous, is he not? And generosity is something that must be built into our lives because, just be honest with you, people aren't just normally in their nature generous. We have a tendency to look out for ourselves, which is okay, sure, I want to look out for myself. But we kind of stop there. That as long as I have mine, I'm good. And I'm not necessarily concerned about everybody else because you need to be worried about you. I worry about me, you worry about you. That's just the way life goes. But generosity kind of pushes back against that. That we not only to, in prayerful way, ask God, as Jesus taught us to pray, that we would have this day our daily bread, in other words, our provision for today. But we're also to look out for those around us, and it connected right into this whole business of loving your neighbor as who? Okay. How many of you want to be provided for? Well, sure, yeah. Everybody does. I don't want to have lack in my life. My wife and I, we never wanted not to provide for our kids. We wanted our kids to have, not to spoil them necessarily, but to have, right? Well, so I pray nearly daily the Lord's Prayer, and part of the Lord's Prayer is that I would have this day my daily bread. It's drawing on the manna from the Old Testament. This day what I need today. So I want to be provided for. But if that's what I want for myself, then if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, then I must also start to look what's around me and not turn my head or close my ears. Because no matter how good a governmental system of economics is and how we go about economic capitalism and all that kind of stuff, you will always have those who do have. But at the same time, there will always be those who do not. And scripturally, you'll find in the Bible, it's really people who have and those who don't have. And the Bible challenges us to, well, watch out for those who don't have. And what pushes us outward towards other people is generosity. And we've been talking about this. We can say, well, look, I can be generous because God is my provider. And if I do what is right, God will always provide for me, right? So I can be generous because God is my provider. And here's something that needs to be built into your life. I can be generous because I am content. In other words, I'm satisfied with my situation in life. And if I'm satisfied with my situation in life, I have no problem with giving to others. So I can be generous because I am content. And I can be generous because greed does not rule me. Right? You should work against that in your life. And we held up I just had a dollar bill that did I give that money back to you, Don? Okay, I borrowed a dollar from Don last week. I gave it back, promise. I held the dollar up. I said, just make sure this doesn't rule your life. That your life does not consist in just trying to achieve and to have and to build this. Because as we said last week, Jesus said, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Right? That my life is not totaled up in value by what I own and what I have. Now, the world works that way, obviously. But those of us in the Christian faith, we don't see the world through that lens. Things are not necessarily bad until it's what becomes my obsession of them. Things are not necessarily bad unless it becomes what drives my life to have. Right? So life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So, but today I want to close this out talking about generosity, and we're going to talk about supplying seed to the sower. But first, before we get there, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, here's a background here. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church. They are taking up a collection among the churches in Corinth. It would be like a letter being sent out and somebody going to all the churches here in Urbana to take up a collection that totaled together. And this collection was being taken back to the Jerusalem church to those that were suffering through famine and in certain levels of poverty. So a collection in the Corinthian churches that's going back to Jerusalem to help those in need there. And what Paul does right here is, talking to the churches in Corinth, he uses the churches in Macedonia as an example of their giving, so the churches in Corinth can see how God has worked among them. So let's read about that. Verse 1 of chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. It says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And Macedonia would be now, I think, Southeast Europe, someplace in that general area. Now watch this. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, in other words, to help other people. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, now watch this, and then by the will of God to us. So accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. In other words, you excel in all these things, but also excel in generosity. And I like this here. He says, I say this not as a command. You know what about giving as a pastor? I should never try to command you to give. You have to give. Nor should I ever try to shame you to give or guilt you to give. But you give because generosity is building in you. So I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. So generosity shows up as an act of love. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And so that by his poverty, you might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. Now that you had that desire, now finish it as well. So that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, is acceptable according to what the person has, not according to what the person does not have. For I did not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need. And that may be fairness. For as is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and who gathered little had no lack. We'll stop there. So Paul, using, again, the Macedonian churches as an example to the churches in Corinth about generosity. What I love about what Paul says here is apparently, and you see this in verse 2, that the churches of Macedonia were in the time of a severe trial and a severe test. In other words, they were going through it. But yet, I like what Paul says there, but yet, because of their joy, they gave out of what they had, and generosity overflowed. Justice, that first slide, if you'll throw it up there, I want you to catch this in your heart today. Take this with you. There we go. We'll get rid of that verse. There we go. A joyful person will be a generous person. We got Christmas coming up, and one of the things we'll see on TV, maybe you read it, is Ebenezer Scrooge. That guy just had a bad attitude. And part of his bad attitude was he just wasn't going to give an inch on money in any way, right? One thing he wasn't was a joyful person until the end. Some things changed his heart. And when he became joyful, he also became generous at the same time. A joyful person will be a generous person. See, the characteristic that really marks the Christian faith is the characteristic of joy. So, in our joy, it turns us outward to other people. And when you turn outward towards other people and you actually pay attention to other people, you will notice times where, well, need is there. And out of the joy of your heart, generosity flows. And again, the Macedonian churches, watch, they were in the midst of a severe trial, a severe test. But watch this. The severe trial and test that the churches of Macedonia were going through, that test or trial, whatever it was, did not steal their joy. Think about that. How often you go through something in life and before you know it, you find yourself down in the pits, muddling around in your self-pity party. It'll sound mean there, but it can be true. Your joys seem to be snatched from you. But yet in the midst of whatever we face in life, joy to be the hallmark of the Christian faith, that we rise up in the joy of our salvation. That fruit of the Spirit of joy growing in our lives. And even in the midst of their own trial and situation of life, their joy remained. And then out of their joy, their own poverty did not diminish their generosity. To the point Paul said, their generosity surpassed expectations. In other words, no matter where you find yourself in life, you should never find yourself in a lack of joy. In other words, it's something you're aware of and something you work on. And with that, no matter your situation in life, even in times of lack, you're never at a place where you're not generous also. See, generosity is the way that we live no matter our situation of life. See, Paul wrote something here I thought was so important. He said, they gave themselves to the Lord, which we should do, right? And in turn, the Lord gave them to others. And that's just the way it works, folks. If you truly give yourself to him, he will always then in some way turn you around towards other people. In other words, what he does in your life is not just for you alone. It is for you, but it's supposed to then turn around to other people. Including, he lists these different things that the church in Corinth excels in. He said, and also then excel in generosity. I like what Paul wrote there. They gave according, listen to me, they gave according to what they had. That's key. that whatever circumstance you find yourself in this life, when you see need around you, what can you give according to what you have? By the way, this is why generosity spills beyond just money and material things. It is about time, help. I may not be able to give you money, but I can come over and help you do something. I may not be able to pay to have your house fixed, but I can come deal with the weeds in the garden, right? Generosity shows up in all sorts of different ways. But we give according to what we have. And then generosity then wells up, and then it actually goes and exceeds expectation. And again, Paul, he's not demanding and commanding, but he's just like, look, if you're really joyful like the Macedonian churches, and even out of their own poverty, they gave generously. My goodness, certainly you can do the same. In other words, it is a life that we live. It's the way that we approach how we live. Mark chapter 12. Let's jump over there. Yeah, a joyful person will be a generous person. Mark chapter 12. And verse 41. Something that Jesus noticed here. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And it says, and he, Jesus, sat down opposite to the treasury, this is at the temple, and watched people putting in money into the offering box. And watch what he noticed here. Many rich people gave large sums. Okay. But here comes a poor widow. And she put into it two small copper coins, which make a penny, not much. And when he saw this, he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those others contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty because she put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. See that? See, it's not the amount necessarily. It is the condition of your heart. That even in what we would consider this poor widow not having much, but yet she had a generous heart anyways. It's something that's built inside of you to be generous regardless of your situation. By the way, was Jesus rich in this earthly world? A lot of opinions about this. I don't think so. When he was presented after a time of purification at the temple, Leviticus says that when you present the child at the temple, you can offer a lamb for the sacrifice, but if you can't afford that, you can offer turtle doves or two pigeons. And it says in Luke that when they went there, they offered the birds. So apparently, Joseph and Mary couldn't afford the lamb. So Jesus wasn't born into riches. That lets us know that Jesus has come for everybody, not just those at the top of the totem pole. That he comes in life for everybody and draws them. As a matter of fact, Jesus starts at the fringes and he works his way in. That's what he does. Yeah. He became poor for our sake. So when we might understand what the abundance of life is. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll start in verse number 6. So Paul continues about this, and he comes to this point here. He talks about sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. To this point, watch this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, nor under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful, he loves a joyful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And then he draws quotes from Psalm 112 here. As is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. So he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so to be generous in every way, which is through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For this ministry of the service is not only to supply the needs of his saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. For by their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and generosity of your contributions for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Now, you see, the principle of sowing and reaping, listen, it works for everything. It's how the natural world works, right? This past spring, there were farmers out there, and they sowed in their fields. We had a pretty dry summer, right? But yet, this process of sowing produced some plants. Let me tell you something. A plant doesn't grow unless the seed is sown. You're not going to get a plant without sowing. You're not going to get to a harvest later unless there's something sown. You know squirrels? I see a lot more squirrels than I do deer. But anyways, every once in a while I'm tempted. Oh, squirrel, I'm bored. Anyways, bring home some squirrel soup. Anyhow, you know, 80%, you know, squirrels gather things and they bury. They forget 80% of what they bury. You know that? Yeah. That is how most trees are planted. The squirrels are sowing seeds for our forests. Good job, squirrels. I like it. See, you're not going to get a harvest if you're not sowing a seed. Right? Things in our life work the same way. You will always reap what you sow. That's for all things. You sow to please the sinful nature, you will reap destruction. You sow the things of the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. It works for all things, all the way down to generosity. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You sow generously, you will reap generously. Now, let me throw something in here. I'm just going to say this. I hate to have to do this, but let me say it. Out there what would be called the prosperity gospel, okay? That the end goal of faith is that God wants to give you wealth, earthly wealth, as testimony to his goodness, that we're taking the money from unbelievers, comes to believers, and it is the process of you sowing money, and you have faith in the money you sow, and eventually you end up in riches. And I'm not there, folks. I think it's taking what Paul's writing here and taking it steps beyond the heart of what Paul's getting at. Okay? I do not believe the end goal of faith is for you to be wealthy rich. It's not the goal of faith. Faith is a life with God in relationship. Yes, he supplies us there, daily bread. Yes, he blesses. Yes, Romans 12, there's something called the gift of giving. You can't have the gift of giving if you don't have something to give. Yes. But what I do know is this. Riches themselves aren't bad. I'm not going to chase it with my life, nor do I think the end goal of my faith is to be there. But if I happen to find myself rich someday, I'm supposed to do something with it. Again, the riches themselves aren't bad, but what are you doing with it? As we said last week, it's not to build bigger barns to contain all your stuff because, well, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Remember, one of the seeds That was sown in the parable of the sower. The thorns that grew up, that choked the plant, were the deceitfulness of wealth. Don't fall to the deceitfulness of wealth, and don't think the end goal of your faith is to be wealthy. But yet, God does supply seed to the sower. Is it there? As a matter of fact, Justice, throw the second slide up, please. Grab this here. You will always reap what you sow. Sow generously. Makes sense, right? See, what I know is this. Is that there may be times in my life when I am in need. I've shared stories about certain periods of my childhood when we just didn't have, because of situations of health issues with my father. There were people in our lives, church family and actual family, that were generous towards us. But here's something I know about my parents is even when they didn't have, my parents were also generous. He who supplies seed to the sower, what is a sower doing? Sowing. A sower is somebody who's active in generosity. And when God sees the motivation, and God sees the heart, and God sees the love of the gospel coming through, he supplies seed to the sower because he knows what is going to happen when he brings increase to somebody's life. Motivation means everything, folks. God brings increase. Is it because I want to have and build bigger barns? Or yes, I'm being provided for. Now, what can I do for somebody else? Motivation. And for those that so generously towards other people, you will reap what you sow. So generously. Because at the end of the day, what sums up the law and the prophets, again, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And this is the principle of the Christian faith. That I want to be generous in all occasions have come my way. Now watch this. Paul said, he wrote this here. I love this. Okay. Decide in your heart what you will give. Not under compulsion. And then give it cheerfully. That's the whole thing right there. Decide in your heart what you'll do. Then when you do it for cheerfully. There's the rule right there. Decide in your heart what you're going to sow. If you want to talk about what you're going to sow, then sow cheerfully. And then God supplies seed to the sower. And here comes this cycle of life, just like you see out in the natural world, the cycle of life, sowing and reaping in your life. Generously. So in the church, we receive tithe and offerings every single time we're together. Not because I'm browbeating you for money, but because I want to pay the electric bill when it comes time to be paid. And I want to have nice things for our kids in kids' church. It's nice to have seats to sit on that have some cushions on them, right? Right? Then when somebody in church comes in the house and they have a need, we have a benevolence program. We help people pretty consistently in our church. Then we're involved in a program in our community called the Care Portal. And when things come to our attention in the Care Portal, we sometimes help families in our community with things that come up. We just did just this last week. We do things with what comes in. So when you give and you bring tithe and offering, you sow based on what you have decided to give. But don't come down and give with a bad attitude. You know what I could have did with this money? You do it cheerfully, right? Or forget the church. When you're out in the community and you see a need in front of you because you're paying attention, you're not too wrapped up in your own world. It could be a financial need. It could be a need of help of some sort. Decide in your heart what you're going to do. Then you do it cheerfully. right? I'm telling you, listen, and we said this the first week. I probably said it last week, too. Sometimes what you decide in your heart is directed by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it'll stretch you, right? It's not always comfortable to give. But yet you always feel better after you do it. Because you just know you just did something that, listen, is Christ-like. It's God-like in our world. Because one of the ways that God provides this day our daily bread is by giving into somebody else's life so they have this day their daily bread. It's just how it works. That we would be people, listen, who have a compassion for those in need around us. We talked about this the first week. Let me remind you, quit broad brushing people that are in need as just a bunch of lazy people. And if they would just work hard, they wouldn't have this need. That's not always true. Okay? And when you wipe that thinking out of your mind, you just may have compassion for somebody in need then, right? When you have compassion, it's because you see and you hear. You're not just always walking on by, right? You're not always almost conditioning yourself to ignore it. But you start to see these in compassion. And because you're a joyful person, you just can't help yourself. Right? I'm not a good keeper of cash in my pocket. Not good at it. It just always goes away. Not often for stuff for me. I'm just not a good, it just leaves pretty quick. But I just can't help but notice and see. Right? And so generously. Like I was sharing a couple weeks ago, it could just be $5 in my pocket. But that's according to what I have in my pocket right there. So generously. $5. You see what I'm getting at? And the sowing of generosity, God sees my heart, and there's this process and the motivation of my heart and this process, and he sees that, and he goes, you're not a hoarder of the material money. Man, I'm going to supply seed to that sower because he's a sower. Doesn't just keep it for himself. It's one of the ways that God enriches the world. That we would learn to be generous, as Paul writes there, just about on every occasion. Remember last week where Jesus was saying, life does not consist in the abundance of possession. He tells the parable of the guy who's building bigger barns, tearing down his smaller, building bigger barns to store all the stuff he's getting. And he said at the end of the day, his life is going to be called into account before God. And Jesus just says this sentence. He doesn't explain it. He just kind of leaves it hanging there. He says, so be rich toward God. What is that? Be rich toward, how can you be rich toward God? You be rich toward God when you're participating in his project on this earth. You see, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he lists the gifts of the Spirit, the functioning of different power and the way he works and knowledge and wisdom and all these different things. And these are wonderful and good, but yet we're not just about power and the working of the Holy Spirit in that manner. We're also about the working of God in the manner of things like generosity. I think in charismatic churches, we're so worried about power, we forget about this other stuff. Right? Proverbs, we'll close with this. Proverbs chapter 19. We started here 2 weeks ago, but let's close the series out here. Proverbs chapter 19. And we'll be in verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Kind of, this proverb kind of wraps up everything we were talking about today. It says, whoever is generous to the poor, he lends to the Lord. Whatever you do for the least of these, you are doing for him. And he will repay him for his deed. Faith without works is dead, for his deed. Our repayment for these deeds are our treasure in heaven. In other words, our reward. That these kind of things mark the Christian faith. That our generosity coming from the joyfulness of our heart towards other people, when we help another, we're lending to the Lord himself that he repays in treasure of eternity. See that? That's how it works. That God knows, he notices the deeds of our life and these kind of things. He notices. And it's an honoring to him because we're being like him in this world, right? Generosity. So we're Thanksgiving this week, end of the Christmas season, all this time of year. It's not just about this time of year. It's also for March of next year, in April and May. It is a daily life of seeing what can I do with what I have than God does what you can't do because you took the first step. He multiplies things in ways we don't understand. And it's a way of life that's, listen to me. Listen, everybody, listen to what I'm going to say. It's a way of life that is simply Christian. There's no way around it. It's just simply how Christians are supposed to live. Amen? Let's stand up. I was, as most of you know, Pastor Dosick, who founded Only Believe Churches, passed away last October. We were here for lunch one day at the Farmer's Daughter. You guys know the restaurant in town? We had just been in town for something, had lunch there, and there was a family sitting in a booth that used to attend the Botkins campus. They had no longer, but they were at the restaurant there. And we went over, we were talking to him for a little bit. It was all cordial and everything. And we got in the car and we were driving towards Piqua. We're like 3 minutes out of town. And he looked at me. I was driving. He looked at me and said, did you pay for their lunch? I said, no, I didn't pay for their lunch. He went, huh. And he just was looking out the window. I'm just like, oh, for real. So I turned the car around. And I drove back, I walked in, and I said, hey, that couple, can I pay for it? I did, I got out in the car. And he didn't say anything to me. He was always like that with me. You know, always making sure that he's like, just, you know, picking at me a little bit about stuff. He's reminding me, hey, be generous. You know those people, why didn't you pay for their lunch? Now, I wasn't a smart aleck. I didn't say, why didn't you pay for it? I didn't do that. I was a nice guy. You know, what are you doing? Just reminded me. You see, the little things like that in life make a difference. Right? Amen? Lord, I pray you build in us generosity. That we are people who constantly push greed out of our life. Just push it away. That even, Lord, in times that we may be in need ourselves, that generosity is still there. That we are always in on what you are doing in this world and right down to those kind of things. And I thank you, Lord, that you are good and you are faithful and you are a provider. And I pray, Lord, that that flows through our lives. It just doesn't stop in our life. And we thank you for your generosity that we in turn will model it in this world. Now, with your eyes closed, let me ask you a question. Have you received the greatest gift of generosity of God in your life? And the greatest gift of generosity that God has offered us is the forgiveness of our sins through the death of Jesus on the cross. And his resurrection 3 days later is the proof of abundant life, thriving new life in this life right now. It's the gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't pay him for it. You can't do enough good things for it, but it's a gift of forgiveness because we all need saved. If you're here today, you have not asked God for that generosity, forgiveness of your sins. I just want to give you a moment to ask. But if that's you, real quick, just raise your hand up. Let me see. Anybody in the house? Forgiveness of your sins. Anybody? No, I'm not seeing any hands. Okay. Well, I just love to always ask how we close out Sundays. Well, let's do this. If you're in need of forgiveness, I just ask him. It's the wonderful thing about him. He hears us very personally. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins. Just say those prayers. Just ask. It don't matter what it is. He hears, he responds, and he does his miracle in your life. That he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Presses the restart button in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness that comes from your generosity. And I thank you, Lord, that we are people who are not only forgiven by you, but we're following you all the days of our lives, becoming what you intend us to be. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Well, thanks for coming today. Come on back Wednesday, next Sunday morning. Have a wonderful week. If you need prayer about anything this morning, come on down. We'd love to pray with you. But have a great, great Thanksgiving. We'll see you Tuesday night.